You know, first I'd like to say this is Captain Fred, and this is the Fifth Dimension Live today, the 17th of July, the year 2022. We've been, for the last two shows, talking about cannabis oil, CBD oil, THC oil, alternative medicines. And a lot of people are asking me, Fred, you must really be a bad stoner. You're talking about weed and you're talking about cannabis and concentrates and psilocybin and all these illegal drugs. Well, they're illegal because the pharmaceutical companies really don't want you to know or to use anything other than their prescribed substances. But substance abuse is a trap. Drugs, alcohol are like an abusive lover who treats you well at first and then beats you up and apologizes and gives you nice treatment for a while and then beats you up again. The trap is trying to hang in there for the good while trying to overlook the bad, and that never works. The year of 2020 was not a very good year for very many people. I lost three loved ones that year. One of them, and the one that this show is about, is my brother. My brother was a pain sufferer, and he had chronic back problems. He was suffering from depression. And over the years, he had become dependent on one of the oxy drugs for his back problem. He'd been using Prozac for his depression because he was a believer in the pharmaceutical industry. He was a believer in the American Medical Association. He believed that they had his best interest in heart. Well, during the lockdown of 2020, at the same time, they are processing a war on opioids, because they believed that opioids were becoming epidemic and people didn't need opioids as much as they thought they did. So my brother's prescription for his oxycodone or whatever it was that kept him from being in pain all of his life, whatever kept him from being in pain, they took away from him. That's one of the reasons why I believe people should learn to use these natural medications like marijuana, cannabis, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of people are ashamed to use the word marijuana, but I think it's become synonymous with the cannabis plant that grows massive amounts of THC. But the government very consciously took this medication away from people that were dependent on it for their well-being. And this was this was in the middle of this quote pandemic or pandemic or whatever you want to call it. But we got to understand that the pharmaceutical companies run this government. The pharmaceutical companies are running the media. And the banks profit from both. It's the dark triad. The dark triad of media, medical, and money. I'd like to play a clip. I don't know if Sam's got it in front of him yet. Do you have the clips that I sent you, Sam? Play clip one for us really quick, and let's see, let's hear this discussion from this person that was deprived of his medications.
I'm being twisted alive. That's what's causing me my pain.
Silent suffering and now desperate fear. Tonight, the other victims of West Michigan's war on opioids.
For them, the much maligned drugs at the center of the deadly epidemic are a lifeline. Target 8 investigator Susan Samples got unprecedented access to the front lines of the opioid crisis, but she's not stopping there. Susan?
Brian and Marley, there is no question opioids devastate lives. So many courageous families helped make that clear in my series of special reports, A Killer Among Us. But I also heard from many of you desperate to share your side, to show that while opioids can take lives, they can also save them.
Do you see that my back looks like it's curving one way or the other?
It's tough to miss it, even from this angle, but the X-ray is irrefutable.
The twisting's from the scoliosis. And then all through my spine, I've got arthritis.
Shockingly, she wasn't diagnosed with scoliosis until her 40s, when her back started hurting after she began work at a child care center. A dozen years later, she can barely straighten herself up.
It hurts right all through here, terrible, all the time.
Melissa, a 50-something wife and mom from suburban Grand Rapids, asked us to conceal her identity not for privacy, but for safety. There's a criminal market for the fentanyl patch her pain doctor prescribes her. 37 micrograms she relies on to make her pain livable.
I do not like to hear fentanyl and heroin in the same sentence. It's like they don't belong together, and they're mixing them together. And fentanyl's getting a bad rap over it.
Opioids like heroin, methadone, fentanyl, and mixtures thereof top the list of deadly overdose-causing drugs at the center of the CDC-labeled epidemic. But now, victims of another epidemic, chronic pain, fear that doctors, scared by the Fed's crackdown on loose prescribers, will cut pain patients off.
What would that mean to you if you did not have access to fentanyl?
Oh. I don't know. I mean, this is how people end up searching the streets for something.
Narcotics are not going to be taken away. No.
Dr. Keith Javery runs the Javery Pain Institute in Grand Rapids.
Bottom line, they're not going to be taken away, nor should they be.
Javery says while most patients don't need opioids for more than a couple weeks, some do need them to function long term. And he doesn't want doctors to be afraid to prescribe them, but...
I will tell you that half the patients that come to me on opioids didn't have to be on them for that long.
For too long, says Javery, doctors have been too quick to prescribe opioids and too lax on monitoring the patient's use.
Finally, we have people listening, but look what it took. It took a national epidemic for people to finally start to listen.
Javery's speech, doctors have to keep closer tabs on opioid patients, make them sign a contract, involve their family, undergo counseling, submit to random urine testing and pill counts. And Javery says opioids are never the only answer, coupled instead with techniques like nerve block therapy, spinal stimulation, pain pumps.
While sometimes narcotics are necessary, we have found utilizing these other methods is that fractions of the doses are needed for fractions of the total number of patients.
I will be responsible for the secure storage of my medication at all times. If it were to be stolen, I must report this immediately and have a police report.
Melissa's not a Javery patient, but her pain doctor made her sign a contract to do counseling, physical therapy. She also gets spinal injections routinely and withdrawal if she's late with a patch.
You don't put it on in time. You can feel like there's bugs crawling all over you. And it's a horrible feeling. It's just horrible feeling.
The feeling she doesn't get from fentanyl, she says she doesn't feel high, only like she can live another day.
People like me, you can't live a life in the pain that I would be in without it. It's not a life to live that way.
Melissa takes her fentanyl responsibly, safely, says she knows the risks of accidental overdose. She had surgery planned last fall, but then her husband lost his job. State lawmakers are right now working on bills to fight the epidemic, but part of their challenge and what I will be tracking is how they can protect patients like Melissa in the meantime. I'm Target 8 investigator Susan Samples.
That's really a sad story, isn't it, folks? You know, we've been treated pretty poorly by this government and by this pharmaceutical and this medical establishment. They've told us that this is care, but I'm not gonna call this care. I'm gonna call this abuse. This is like an abusive lover, someone that just beats us up and then waits us to feel a little bit better, then beats us up again. These pharmaceutical companies are evil. I'd like to take callers today if I can. The number today is 512-248-8252, and Sam will be taking your calls. But we've went over the alternatives, and we believe that marijuana and hemp and can be useful alternatives to these pharmaceuticals that are prescribed. They include codeine and Demerol and methadone, morphine, Oxycontin, oxycodone, Percocet, Vicodin, and fentanyl, of course. It's really interesting. It's interesting that that we have a fentanyl epidemic just about the time that the government declares war on prescription painkillers. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? You know, it reminds me of 1937 when Harry Anslinger demonized cannabis to give him another problem to address, another whipping boy of public use or abuse. The pharmaceutical companies still make tons of money. They're making money on just about everything. They own the media. They own the medical institution. You know, we don't have much of an opportunity. Greg in California. Hi, Greg. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Dr. Fred.
No. Just call me Fred.
Captain
fine.
Fred. Captain Fred. That's what. Yeah, and it's Gregory. Anyways.
Yeah, you called before. Didn't you call that you were making your own cannabis oil?
Well, I'm making the paste now. I'm not making the Rick Simpson oil anymore because I do believe the paste gives you the whole plant instead of distilling, just a certain aspect of it.
That's wonderful. I want to hear more about it.
I feel good when I do it.
How are you doing it? Tell us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe, I hope I'm wrong, but I believe they weaponized that beautiful plant. And it took them that many years to weaponize it before they legalized it again so that smokers and tokers and all that other stuff will croak easier. But that's just my conspiracy theory. I don't know.
I don't know. I never heard of anybody dying from cannabis.
No, but maybe they weaponize it to where it gives you a heart attack. You know, everything's giving you a heart attack these days except for the jab. Because the jab was Dr. Fauci's dream come true, his wet dream come true. That with the pharmaceuticals. Yeah, those are the enemy. The enemy's right in front of us, and nobody cares to look at them. It's phenomenal.
Well, I think people that listen to Revolution, I mean, Republic, I'm on both networks, Revolution Radio and Public Broadcasting. I believe people that listen to the alternative media understand who the enemy is.
We're not doing nothing about it.
You never did tell me how you're processing your pace, because I'm interested.
Oh, it's super easy. All you do is, you grind up your buds and whatever you want to throw in it, put it in the oven for at 200 for an hour, maybe 2 hours. Got to turn a little brown, right? Because that activates all the cannabinoids and terpenes and whatnot. And so after that, let it cool off and throw some olive oil. I'm doing coconut oil right now. I like coconut oil. And shake it up. And that's it. I have to take real small doses because I'm very sensitive to it. Do any more, I find myself in the closet, curled up. Paranoid.
In the closet reading all the novels you stuffed back there 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really sure that's the kind of pace that they're talking about. Because when I think of pace, I think of a concentrate. I think of something that's more potent. As far as grinding up flowers and cooking it, they call that decarbolating the the THC molecules are encased in a crystalline structure, and if you don't heat it up and melt that away from the THC, it won't get you high. Or the THC is shielded from being absorbed by the body, is what it is.
Ergo, the reason why you put it in the oven for a couple hours.
Right. But if you use a distillate like grain alcohol, you can distill that down into a much more potent chemical structure, and I've seen that mixed with different things too that have looked like a paste, but it's definitely a lot stronger than a paste. So I don't know.
Yeah.
If people are needing some kind of painkiller and their doctor is afraid to prescribe them a painkiller, I would suggest that they try what you have done. It's really easy.
And if the oil works, the Rick Simpson distilled way works, yeah. I mean, I've done that too, and I do grain alcohol myself because I re-still it. So when you re-still, you up your alcohol content on whatever you're stilling. And I think I said it last time that, after I still some of this stuff that's been soaking for a long time, the next still, there's just a tight tint of green in the alcohol, and it's up to, 90-95%. And that's fun. And it tastes really good.
You called when Jim Strang was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and Jim uses that, but he calls his alcohol residual hempahol.
Pinball, that's a good one. Yeah, I don't remember that. Yeah, that's fun.
Anyway, yeah, the painkillers, like I was saying, my brother was using oxycodone, and he was using Prozac, and when they cut his oxycodone off, he didn't have any way to deal with the pain that he had in his back. He was in misery the whole time. And I think the Prozac creates suicidal tendencies anyway. And when they unleashed this uncontrolled pain on my brother, he didn't have any way out. And
I wish your brother would have listened to James Corbett on the Corbett Report when he did that expose on Devil Bill Rockefeller. You know, the snake oil salesman that his dynasty ultimately controlling the medical establishment right now. It's because of that moron.
Well, the problem with suicide is that nobody can see far ahead. And
so you mean your brother committed suicide?
Yeah, that's what it was. He was in a situation that was forced on him. I mean, he was addicted to the opioids, and he was using the Prozac, which causes suicidal tendencies. The pharmaceutical industry murdered my brother.
They did?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would even go as far as to say it was premeditated, too. I mean, look at the jabs. They're premeditatedly killed or murdered. X amount of millions of people.
They're still
so far. Yeah, it's a gift that keeps on giving, by golly. Given
you know,
death.
It amazes me, Greg, that that people still listen to media. They parrot whatever they've heard on the television. And all that's on the television, for the most part, is propaganda. And it's used to manipulate people into believing whatever they want you to believe. Folks that have taken the shot of the four jabs and the bonus jabs still believe that they're being protected by that pharmaceutical. The length of mind control that the media has got on the world, not just the United States, is amazing. It's mind-boggling.
Oh, it is. It's totally, they've ensnared the whole planet with their media. In fact, James Corbett did a expose, just his latest one was on media and the various forms of media. In fact, we are in media right now. We're commercing in media. He explained it to where if you're not face-to-face with that person or whatever you're doing, if you're having to go to some other device, TV, television, radio, doesn't matter, you're being mediated to. And I've made a lot.
I've got, this is an interesting request right here. Paul in New York is requesting to talk to you, Greg. You like to have a conversation?
Well, certainly.
All right. Paul, are you available for us?
I absolutely am.
Well,
how are you guys doing?
Hello, Greg.
Magnanimous now that you're on, by golly.
All right, you're too kind. Okay, now, am I correct in assuming that you bake the weed in the oven before you mix it together with the stuff and make a paste out of it?
Yes, sir. You just throw it in there green. You know, your green buds is what I did. I ground them up a little bit, throw them in the oven, and on my oven, actually, it's 150 degrees to activate the terpenes and everything. And the reason why you're turning
right
on 200 is because it overcomes the pan that you got it in and all this and that. But when it turns brown, you know it's done. Throw whatever you want on top of it as far as oil or, heck, throw it in your milkshake. I don't know. I mean, whatever floats your boat.
Okay.
You experiment. That's what I love doing.
All right, I don't want to upset your apple cart or anything like that, but there is a better way to do it, and I will tell you.
I'm all ears.
There's a better way. Okay. The problem with drying it, with air drying it, letting the bud dry out before you mix anything with it, is the terpenes evaporate very quickly, and you want the terpenes to be there. Now, the only thing you're doing through the decarboxylation process is breaking down the THCA, the acid, okay, and then converting that to THC, which activates it, okay? Now, what you can do is you take your bud green, okay, and you put it in a little jar, like a 4-ounce jar or an 8-ounce jar, something like that, and you mix your coconut oil in with it, and you put anything else in there you want to. You stir it up, you make a paste, and then you put that, you put a lid on it, and you put that in a pot of water, and you let that simmer for 5-6 hours, okay? And when you, after you've had it simmering for a while, you shut the heat off, you take the jar out, you crack it open to let the pressure out, you tighten it back down again, and you put that in the refrigerator. And you take like a pea-sized dose of that twice a day, and you know that all of the terpenes are still there. There's 108 of them, and 90% of them don't survive the drying process. That's why you don't let the bud dry out. There's over 500 phytonutrients in there as well that will break down under dry heat. Mm-hmm. You will wind up, I mean, this is actually the method that, have you heard of hemp paste? This is actually the method they use in preparing. It's canning cannabis 101, and that's how they do it.
I'll be darned. Okay? Well, thank you so much for that information. Yeah.
Well, I've always used butter.
Butter works, too.
Right. I mean, back in the day, I would grind my cannabis up, clean it first, and de-seed as much as you can. I use a coffee grinder to pulverize it. But I always use butter and cook it with butter, and that way I could add it to whatever I want. I don't like the large size texture of cannabis leaf. I mean, it seems to be pretty abrasive. But
then all you got to do is grind it, put it in the jar, then put your oil in it before you dry it, before you cook it. Mix it together, cook it for 5-6 hours, just on a simmer. All you're doing is you're just canning it, okay? That'll decarboxylate it, and just like I said, you put it in the refrigerator, and it'll keep forever. And all it takes is a pea-sized dose.
Wow. You got my attention with that. That makes sense.
Paul,
on how to do it. If you want to see a video on how to do it, search YouTube for the channel Privatist, P-R-I-V-A-T-I-S, .me living, okay? And probably about September of 2015, the guy on that channel did Canning Cannabis 101. It's the exact process on how to make it.
Hey, you guys, hold on a little while. I think this is pretty interesting. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred of the Fifth Dimension, and we're talking to Paul in New York and Greg in California, coast to coast today. We'll be
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, You have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, I hope that you've been having the time of your life. Just remember, you gotta always think twice. I remember when I lost my mind. But there was something so special about that day. Even your emotions had an echo. So much space. And when you're out there without a care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. No.
Yeah, opioid withdrawal is one of the most physically demanding experiences anybody can endure. And when the government declared war on opioids and started restricting the prescription of opioids, there were a lot of people that began to suffer needlessly. And there's a lot of different things that we can do for withdrawal. And we've talked about cannabis, cannabis paste, and there's a lot of different things. Paul, but when we went to the break, you were beginning to give us a website on processing or a way that we can process our cannabis so that we can be more effective with it.
Yeah.
Is Paul still recent?
You go to YouTube and search for the channel Privatis, PRIVATIS.me/living. And in that list of videos, just go click on the videos tab and go down a few rows to a show called Solutions for the Planet from June 12th of 2015. It's a 33-minute long video, and it is literally Canning Cannabis 101. It tells you exactly how to do it. The guy's name is Doc Peter. I'm a show host myself, and I also am a hemp paste rep, but I'm not here to promote me. He and I do radio shows. We talk about all the things that hemp paste and cannabis paste can do for all mammals, because anybody that's got an endocannabinoid system can benefit from hemp and cannabis. Now, if you happen to be in a state where cannabis is not available, and you can't get the raw materials to make your own paste, definitely go to the RBN website and go to the hemp paste link. That is MyNutra. That is a top quality product. He's the only guy in the world that makes it. He's the only cookie in the jar, and particularly if you want a non-psychoactive version. Support RBN. Click on that little link. Get you a sample happy packet. Do it.
Because if you were on... Of course, you can get a sample package for it. It sounds like a pretty good deal on it. It is hemp, though. It's not marijuana.
Yeah. Well, still, I mean, don't discount hemp and its abilities.
No.
I had a good friend. She was diagnosed with cancer, and she was chewing CBD gummies like they were chiclets. Okay, and she was on 18 different doses of opioids per day. Mm. She was waking up religiously every 4 hours because the pain was debilitating. I got her started on hemp paste, and you're not going to believe this, but I really don't care if you don't believe it because it's the God's truth. I took somebody that was on 18 different doses per day, including a fentanyl patch, and I had her completely off of opioids, without side effects, without withdrawal, in 4 days.
Sweet.
Wow.
And she was also out of pain. She was out of pain. And that was with the non-psychoactive hemp paste that anybody can go to RBN, click on that little happy packet link, and get a couple of packages of them. This is something everybody can do.
You know, Paul, I don't know if you're familiar with my show, but in 2015... I started doing CBD shows with my friend Jim Strang, who has a hemp farm, and he processes the CBD, and I don't know how many people he's helped with CBD. I am a proponent for CBD from the get-go, and I've interviewed a lot of people. I think as back in 2017, I interviewed a research scientist, and we were talking about the terpenes. And even today, there's not a lot of research on terpene, but there is so many different, there's a lot of people that are studying it now. But I've recognized that terpenes is indicative of the freshness of the cannabis that you're getting in the state of Oklahoma. Now that they've legalized cannabis, has used the terpene as a measurement of quality rather than THC content. I think that's a wonderful thing. What can you add to the conversation about the terpenes?
Well, I know there's 108 of them. They're very, very, very fragile. They are the very first thing to evaporate, and they are really necessary for it. And I know there's a lot of oil people out there, but I'm telling you, the oil is broken, okay? there's only one terpene there, if you're lucky, and the oil. There is nothing there to create the actual entourage effect that occurs when you have all the terpenes, or as many of them as you can possibly get, and all the phytonutrients. It's like a complete food. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Why? Because if you eat the entire apple, you can even eat the seeds. You won't suffer from arsenic poisoning, and those seeds actually have the same effect as apricot seeds, which have been demonized because of vitamin
B17.
Well, that's seed? Because the pharmaceuticals want it demonized.
Well, absolutely.
Like comfrey.
Absolutely. Now, if the oil is broken. Oh, we've talked about that. Now, what else? Oh, okay. I know why they declared a war on opioids. Do you know why they did it? Can you tell me a year? Why? Okay. Can you tell me any year within the last 20, 30 years that they have not declared war on something? The reason
they're always declaring war on something.
We have been under a state of declared war since Lincoln, and they have to declare a war every year. It was the war on illiteracy, the war on drugs,
poverty.
The war on poverty. They always declare a war, and that is what they have to do to keep that declaration of war in place so we can continue to operate under a suspended constitution.
Well, and we were just going to talk about us back in 1933 with the Enemy War Powers Act. But we've been at war.
Of course they did.
Directly with the government since then.
Before oh, this cool. show, there's another show that's Michael Storm's anarchy show. And I think that he said something today I was listening to, and I had to agree with him. I take a moment to exercise a little bit of anarchy every day. And I think that that's what we need to do. Is we all realize that we've been screwed by the media. I call it the dark triad, the media, medical, and the money. They're running the scam on this world right now.
Currency actually controls both the media and the pharmacy. They're the top of the spear, the tip of the spear there. They don't want you to know that, but Rockefeller, Rothschild.
But the banks are behind that just as much as they're behind all the wars for the last 5,000 years.
They're most profitable.
Absolutely. So, you know, right now it's just this triad of media and medicine that's making most of the money for the banks. And they've tried for the last 85, 87 years since Anslinger passed the Cannabis Act of 1937. They've been keeping that going as long as they can. And they use lying by omission to keep us from knowing what we're missing. You know, it's just amazing. And like you're talking about with the terpenes, terpene research should be something we should all be aware of right now. I've been doing some studying, and I'm not ready for a show yet, but there's a lot of indicators that the terpenes are what is causing the migration of the CBD into CBNs, the oxidation or the aging of terpenes can also be similar to the aging of a wine. It's similar in effect. If you balance the terpenes, then you can balance the effect of the terpenes for individuals. I've been experimenting with pine needle hydrosols, and it's a wonderful, wonderful way to balance the terpenes in your margaritas. I don't know if you ever drink those before, but
I love them.
Yeah, the terpenes in the lime, and the limes are full of terpenes, but if you can balance the terpene profiles, then you can get the full effect of the margarita. That may
Excuse
be a little
me. Do you men grow your own?
Excuse me?
Do you all grow your own?
Oh, yeah. I grew 8 strains last year. I grew 2 sativas, 2 hybrids, and 4 indicas. And I had so much that I've not really gotten rid of all of it. And I didn't grow this year because I'm in the middle of the process of building my greenhouse. But, yeah, I've grown cannabis. And I've got a couple of people that have some cannabis grows that were trying to get on air, but a lot of people are a little reluctant. I don't know if you've caught any of the shows that I've done on Revolution Radio, but I've interviewed a couple of people that are involved in the cannabis industry there. No, I'm a proponent for cannabis all the way around. I believe it's a wonderful thing, but it's like anything else. It can be abused.
I'm a proponent for freedom, for crying out loud, and that's what it is all about.
Right. You know, my friend... that I had on last week, the Rastafarian, said it's the healing of America. Cannabis is the healing plan of America, and I believe that is probably true. A lot of people argue that Kratom is good for opiate withdrawal, too. Do you fellows have any experience with Kratom?
No, I don't have any experience with that at all.
I had a little bit of it. It made me kind of Looney Tunes. Dr. Phil claims it's what made me go off the deep end last time. Although I lost my mind, I didn't lose my underpinning. I knew what I was doing, knew where I was at. And I was just having a good time, but you're not allowed to have a good time. And then they don't believe me for the fact that whenever I stop my drinking, that's when I start acting a little bit different, or even a lot different. But I never hurt nobody. I've never committed a crime. But I always find myself getting beat up by the bullies that wear suits and call themselves officers, and or thrown in jail and tased. Yeah, that's real fun, but what keeps me under the radar now is, well, back to my alcohol and my marijuana. But I think worse than heroin is these damn cigarettes I'm smoking all the time. I've been rolling since I was like 15, and I think tobacco is about, I've kicked everything else, but this damn nicotine.
You know, nicotine's an interesting drug, too. A lot of people are turning to nicotine researching Parkinson's. They're saying it's, it can calm the nerves for Parkinson's. But I think that smoking cigarettes is different than absorbing the nicotine. So I don't know. It's like smoking weed. I enjoy smoking a joint, too. But I've begun to favor my vaporizer nowadays. I mean, I've got a little PAX vaporizer. You can pack a little bit of flour into the oven and heat it up in a couple of minutes, and it's a wonderful thing. You don't get all of the tars and the problems with burning the leaf. I'm not really sure what it does to the terpenes, and Paul was saying that the air drying out would affect it, but if you vaporize the flower, do you absorb the terpenes immediately, don't you, Paul?
You should. You should. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV, so I don't know a whole lot about all this.
You'd be a good one, Paul, I tell you. You really do have a wealth of information, and you present it well.
Well, I've been doing shows for a decade now, so and I've interviewed people that are infinitely smarter than I am. So I just haven't. I was just lucky enough to remember some of this stuff. But I don't know. If you want information on the terpenes, all that information is right there on the rbnhemppaste.com. Just go to rbnhemppaste.com. You can see all of the chemical breakdowns. You can see the depth of the chemical analysis that gets done every single year. There's informative videos on the effect of adding. Come on, some people use acetone to break it down. Break down and then they evaporate off the acetone. Well, gee, do you think maybe some of it was still there? And some people buy their bud. Right, exactly. And some people buy their bud.
Change the chemical composition of the bud itself?
Absolutely. Especially considering you're boiling it. And some people buy their bud from dispensaries. Well, you know that they spray the plants with myclobutanil so they can tell what is a taxed plant and what is an untaxed plant. Well, the problem with myclobutanil is when you cook it, it turns into arsenic. Or does it turn into cyanide? I forget which one it is. But it's not good.
See, Fred, I told you there was a conspiracy. I was on it right now. They weaponized our freedom plan against us.
Paul, is cannabis legal in New York now?
Recreationally, it is now legal in New York. However, you cannot have more than 3 ounces at a time, and they have not set up any dispensaries or method for actually buying or selling it. So you can have it, but you just can't get it anywhere.
Can you grow it?
I have no idea. I don't even think they bothered to talk about that.
If you're growing it, that's recreational. I don't understand why you shouldn't be able to grow it for yourself. Do you live in the city or do you live in the state?
I'm sorry, what?
Paul, do you live in New York State or you live in the city?
I live in New York State, upstate.
That's a different place altogether.
Yeah. Microbutanol converts to cyanide in your blood when smoked. Dispensaries know this and still use this poison to mark their plant matter for the taxable event. Know your source.
Yeah, that's why I highly recommend growing my own.
That's totally true, Paul. Because I'm working on an interview with a gentleman that has one of the three green grows in the state of Colorado, and they have a certification for the green grows, and they're absolutely free of any kind of chemicals. And I'm not really sure if that's something that may be that's something I'm going to look up, to be honest. I'm not familiar with that. I know that here in this valley, they grow 100,000 pounds of illegal marijuana every year, too, along with probably 150,000 pounds of legal marijuana. And they've been growing for quite a while. I've met one of the inspectors that goes around and checks on the legal grows, and also he's all the time looking for illegal grows, too. But there's as much illegal cannabis being grown in the United States as there is legal cannabis being grown. I'd like to understand if they're actually putting some kind of marker on legal grown marijuana. I know that in the state of Colorado, when you have a legal grow, every plant is assigned a number, and it's followed all the way to harvest, and it's just a crazy, crazy expensive way to grow cannabis. And a lot of the people just don't really want to mess with it. They're just growing cannabis illegally.
It's just like the USDA. I mean, the regulations and paperwork are crippling. And it's the same thing with alcohol distilleries. And the regulations and paperwork is crippling. One link that I know of that talks about microbutanol on cannabis is Clean Light. NL. That's cleanlight.nl. Go there and search for why you should never ever spray microbutanil on cannabis.
What is that exactly? Sounds like it might be some kind of antifreeze or something.
It turns to cyanide.
Some countries. Let's see. Okay. Microbutanol is an effective component in some pesticide sprays. That is, it kills fungi such as powdery mildew and bud rot. You find microbutanol in sprays such as Eagle 20 EW. This fungicide belongs to the family of triazoles. Some countries are contemplating a complete ban on microbutanol because of concerns in the medical profession with regards to triazole-resistant aspergillus. Even so, Eagle 20 EW and similar products are applied frequently in conventional agriculture, such as the farming of grapes. So.
You know, Paul, in Colorado, when a grow tests positive for fungus, they're not able to sell flower for smoke. It can only be used for process for concentrates. So I'm wondering if, you know, what that is exactly. I know there's a lot of different chemicals they spray on the plants to keep them from going to seed or to keep them from flowering quicker, but I've never heard of that. Well, I guess they could use it for fungus, but I don't know. There was several grows nearby here that were plagued by fungus a couple years ago. And
what about copper sulfate?
Excuse me, copper sulfate?
I wouldn't put it. I wouldn't put anything on the plant.
Well, I wouldn't either, but while I did put it on my peach trees, what it did, I had a big piece of copper, it was all green, and I sanded it down in some water and then just sprinkled that water on my plants, and it took that, you know, the peach trees get curly leaves, mm-hmm. and it took it away like that. But, yeah, I was just saying for a fungicide, that would be a more safer one. Is that stuff made by Monsanto, may I ask, that poison that you're talking about?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But I know you don't want Roundup anywhere near your weed either.
You don't want it anywhere near you. Period.
Yeah, absolutely. A good fungicide like antibacterial is colloidal silver.
Oh, yeah.
You can mix a little bit of colloidal silver with a quart of water in a spray bottle and just spray your plants, and it should stop anything dead in its tracks. But you know, it kills 750 pathogens.
A friend of mine uses a combination of honey and milk for her antifungicide.
That'll do it,
wow.
too.
That's new to me.
The honey evidently has so many antimicrobials that it really keeps fungus from growing.
But it's got to be real honey, because better than
real
half
milk.
Of the honeys that are out there.
Yeah, it can't be Chinese
half
honey.
Of the honeys. Yeah, better than half of them are just high fructose corn syrup that's artificially flavored. They're even messing with the raw honey.
Well, yeah, they're spraying the skies every bloody day, it seems. Dane Whittington, you familiar with him, man?
Mm-hmm.
Geoengineeringwatch.org, I believe.
Yep.
I'm not a chemtrail believer, I'm sorry.
Well, he's go to his website and with an open mind and see if he can change that. But, I've seen it. I've known it for a long, long time now.
That's another topic. We're going to have to look at that.
There's so many to expound on.
I really enjoy having a couple of callers to have a conversation about marijuana.
Thank you, Paul.
That's a wonderful topic.
Too,
we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred in the Fifth Dimension. We have Paul in New York and Greg in California. We'll be back.
Best behavior, turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world. It's my own design, it's my own remorse.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.